Hello, boys and girls of Credit Union Land, and welcome to episode 74 of the CU Insight Experience. This episode is brought to you by our friends at PSCU. As the nation's premier payments QSO, PSCU proudly supports the success of more than 1,500 credit unions. My name is Randy Smith. I'm one of the co-founders of CUinsight.com, and it is my job on the show to have conversations with the best and the brightest of the credit union community. I get to pick their brains and see if we can't find a few nuggets that we can all learn from. My guest on today's show is Mark Arnold. Mark is the founder and CEO of On the Mark Strategies. He's also been a longtime contributor to the CU Insight community, which we'll make sure to link to all of his writing in the show notes. I was really looking forward to this conversation. Many of you may have seen the three questions video I did with him a few weeks back, and I will tell you, after we were done recording that, we just kept talking. So I knew I had to get him on the podcast and that we would have an amazing conversation to share with you. We talked about how marketing will not be the same past this experience we're all sharing called COVID-19, the importance of strategic planning today, and Mark shared some tips on communication, not only to your members, but to your team at the credit union as well. Quite honestly, great communication tips for any business out there for that matter. There was so much good in the leadership and life hacks portion of the show. Mark may have been born into credit unions, but he sure has picked up quite a bit on the old leadership and life lessons along the way, and he was willing to share those with all of us. So very, very cool part of the conversation. And as always, we wrap it up with some of the rapid fire questions to wrap up the show. This conversation was a ton of fun for me to have. I look forward to being able to move about the country again, hopefully soon, and hope my path crosses with Mark's and we can continue this conversation. So without further ado, I give you my conversation with Mark Arnold. Enjoy. Mark, welcome to the show.
Randy, thanks so much for having me. It is an honor to be with you, my friend.
Interesting times we've been living through it, but we had the chance just a few weeks back to do the three questions video, and I will say it left me wanting more. So I was glad we already had this on the schedule. Now we can actually take a little more time have a longer conversation. So thank you again for being here. You know, I'd like to just jump right into something that I found so interesting when we did the three questions video, and that was to talk about communication and with how rapidly the environment that we all live and work and, you know, keeps changing. You know, what tips do you have for credit unions on communicating not only with their members, but also, you know, with their colleagues and their team at the credit union as well?
Great question, Randy. Well, first of all, marketing will never be the same again. Now really is that perfect time to assess your marketing. So that's tip number one, is make sure you're assessing your marketing, because it's never going to be the same again. But there are two key themes that you really want to communicate both to members and to your employees. I think two overall big general themes. First is empathy. Members and your employees need to know you see their pain, that you're with them. And even a line like, "We understand how frustrated the pandemic is." That's a great line you can use for your employees and for your members. So that's one big theme. A second big theme you really want to communicate is authority, that both members and employees need to know that you're qualified to give them the best solutions. So a line you could use with them is, "We have a plan. You know, we have a plan if you get laid off. We have a plan to take care of opening our branches," whatever those plans might be for members and employees. You want to communicate empathy and authority. So make sure you're doing those. We've developed some free talking points for credit unions. If they want to, they can just email me at mark@markarnold.com. And we've got a one-page PDF that kind of gives you exactly what to say in each of those topics if anyone would like those. But those are two themes to hit on.
Absolutely. And we'll link to everything we talk about today in the show notes so everybody can get to it and get all these good tools that I know you guys have been creating for the past couple months. So that's pretty good stuff. How has, you know, COVID-19 maybe also made you like rethink strategic planning? I know at CU Insight, we kind of pushed our strategic planning ahead because, you know, what we'd done last year, quite honestly, is rather irrelevant at this point. So we didn't plan for a global pandemic, right? So that's been a conversation that I've had with some credit union CEOs, is this idea that, like, you know, the plan that was in place, this wasn't planned for. So you're somebody who I know does quite a bit of that with credit unions. Are you rethinking that differently, I guess, as well?
Yeah, Yeah, great question. Well, let's be honest. First of all, your 2020 strategic plan is probably in a trash can somewhere. I mean, it just is. But that doesn't reduce the importance of strategic planning. I would argue strategic planning, honestly, is more important than ever right now. The worst thing you can do is hit pause, because hitting pause does not lead to growth. So you don't want to hit pause. And the reality is, I think planning, strategic planning especially, is going to lead you out of the pandemic. It's going to lead you out of that. This is like one of our clients said recently, she's creating a CEO in New Orleans. And we were chatting with her and, you know, we were saying, trying to figure out when we're going to have the plan, how she want to, adjust it or does she? And she said, look, you know, we're not going to let the virus beat us. We're going to focus on strategic planning because that's the key to our future success. And I love that attitude. And she's in, you know, Louisiana, one of the really hardest hit areas. Her approach is, you know what? It's more important than ever that we do planning. Now, how you do planning may look different. It may change a little bit, right? But the reality is you still need to invest in strategic planning, because if you don't, you're going to be that much more behind when the economy does come roaring back. So now, during the economic downturn, now's the time to do planning. You need a messaging plan. You need a strategic plan. You need a financial plan. You need you also need a recession plan. Yeah. You really need to have those four kind of layers built into your strategic plan. If you don't, you're going to struggle.
Yeah, we've even been talking here, and I've had the conversation with some CEOs around that idea of, okay, it's like, you've got the immediate plan. We've already went through the surprise of this. And now it's like, what do we do for the next 3 months, 6 months, year? But then also look out a few years from now, right? You know, because as you mentioned, with marketing plans, they're never going to be the same again. I think there's going to be a lot of things that this is just going to fundamentally change the way we all interact and do things, right?
And I've been really pleased with just the credit unions and CEOs that are saying we are still absolutely committed to strategic planning. I think they really get this and they see, you know what, we can't pause this. We've got to really plan for the future, because if you do, you're just going to be so behind if you don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think this will change the way that members interact with credit unions going forward?
Yeah, great question. I think the knee-jerk reaction is everyone's like, yes, absolutely. I think the reality is potentially. Okay. And that many people are predicting that this is going to be the tipping point when it comes to branches and digital. And I totally understand that strategic thought behind it. It may not necessarily be the case. Let me play the opposite a little bit, zig and zag. You know, let's get 3 months past the pandemic and then see what does consumer banking do. You know, the odds are, hey, they could adapt to this, and now consumer banking moving forward is going to be, okay, we're going to all go digital. But the reverse is, once it's over, will there be folks who still go back to the branches, who still do that? There might be a rush for that human interaction. I think we don't know yet. I think the key indicator, though, for Creighton's want to watch as they're planning strategically, is how will consumers now define convenience when it comes to banking? See, for years and years, consumers have really been defining convenience by where your branches are. Even though it's been all digital, 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 you're seeing that there's no debt. But still, you ask the average consumer, you know, about convenience and banking, they always say, where's the branch at? Okay. So now, after the pandemic, how are they going to answer that question? If they start answering that question, it doesn't matter, it's on digital, then we'll know, yes, it was a tipping point, we're definitely going this route. But do they still say, well, it depends, I want my branch in the backyard, right?
Right, yep.
So, you know, you got to think through it on how you interact. And also on the employee side, how does that affect it? You're going to have to train your employees on how to connect remotely now, how to connect even in social distancing matters and things like that. So.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about right now, that's for sure. This is a question that's been in the podcast for a while, but I think it's even more important right now. We were seeing digital transformation and disruption before the pandemic, right?
Yes.
And it was a big topic of conversation. So whether it's today or just overall, kind of like what you were talking about going forward, do you think there is something that credit unions need to just fundamentally change to continue to be relevant and, you know, today's financial services marketplace?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to very much do a couple things. First of all, you're going to have a strong messaging plan in place. You have to have that in place. You got to leverage that brand that you have. If you don't have a branding or messaging plan in place, now's the time to develop that, because you've got to focus on that value proposition, right? Why should I do business with you versus someone else locally, or now versus the, you know, the pop-ups and the, you know, all the fintechs that are out there? You know, one strategic question you've got to answer right now or in this year's planning session is, what opportunities are there out there now? What are the opportunities? So you got to focus on that message, on that branding side of things. I think, be able to stay relevant. The reality is branding is going to make you relevant. If you don't do that, you're going to struggle. I love what Patrick Adams said one day. I think he said, you'll be irrelevant long before you're insolvent. And I love that quote.
That's
from
a great
Patrick.
Line. You'll,
yeah, it is a great line. You'll be irrelevant long before you're insolvent. So people right now, they're all scared about, you know, what's going to happen to our capital? What's going to happen to our financial, our ROA? Legitimate concerns. Absolutely. But long term, you need to focus on your relevancy. And that means your messaging and your branding, because that's the only thing that's going to differentiate you from all the other places that can do business.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. Any, I guess, tips, hacks, you know, that you could share with credit unions when it comes to, you know, like what is a successful, like what is that successful brand today, or the communication, I guess, side of it?
Yeah. On the tips, you've got to be able to really distinguish your credit union. Say, what is your credit union about? Is one hack. Another question is, what makes your credit union different in 6 words or less, without using the word community, without using the word people, and without using the word service, because everybody uses those words, right? That's really different. So you've got to, and if you can't do that, you're going to struggle. You're not going to be as relevant. You ask the relevancy question. That's what makes it relevant. You got to tie into that. When you can do that, then you're going to have success, because you've got those folks you're trying to reach. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny you say that, I absolutely love it about the brand. I'm following a script. I have my questions for you here on my iPad next to the computer, and it's on Evernote. And one of my Evernotes that I've been working on is, it's this idea of like your personal value statement. Mm-hmm. Your own, almost, but it's the same thing. 6 words or less. They had a whole list of words that you could also not use in there either, right? Like it's just, but it's interesting because it's easy to make it long. It's tough to make it short without some of those words that, you know, even that you mentioned. So that's why nobody can see this, but I was smiling as you were saying that. I'm like, I feel like I've heard this before. Someplace.
Yeah,
but
because
it was on the personal side.
So. Yeah. The reality, you've got to build a brand that's consistent. You've got to build a brand that really is clear, that's unique, and all those things are critical. And those creators are having the most success. The ones that are seeing the strongest ROA, the ones that are seeing, you know, the double digit loan growth, even during these times, the ones that are really having success, they all have the rock solid brand. And it truly, truly starts with that.
That's good stuff there. Last question in this section. If we were to sit down a year from now, break out the crystal ball for me, that's almost probably even more impossible today. But what are you most proud of that you and your team at On the Mark, you know, accomplished over the last year?
Yeah, I love that question, by the way. That really caused me to think. And it caused me, you know what, I need to ask my team that question as well. So I love the question. We're going to be dwelling on that question. And there were three answers that I came up with. I'll kind of compare it to see what they said. One is that we were part of helping credit unions get beyond the crisis, that we were really a part of helping them get beyond that. Number two is that we help credit unions not survive, but thrive. We want to help them not just survive this, but really thrive through it. And number three, that we help credit unions accelerate their growth. A year from now, those three things, I would like to be able to say that we help them, that we got them to thrive and not survive, and we accelerate their growth.
That's good stuff there. I hope those are all true, my friend.
Me too.
To move on to the second part of the show, the leadership and life hacks. I was looking forward to this because not only, you know, a fellow entrepreneur, but also, you know, you a leader of your company, and then you work with a lot of leaders too. So I thought you're going to have a lot of stuff to share here. Thanks. With our listeners. So, but to start, what was the inspiration for you when you started On the Mark Strategies?
Great question. Well, my first job at a credit union was about a year out of college.
Okay.
And I was a lowly marketing coordinator. I was a guy that was putting on the credit union mascot suit. You know, it doesn't get much lower than that, Randy. And right. So, you know, but honestly, I was struggling in that job quite a bit. I was doing things like spelling the CEO's name wrong in the newsletter. You know, that'll get you fired, right? So, so one day, my boss, the VP of marketing, brought me into her office and she sat me down and she looked me dead in the eye. And she said, Mark, you will always be a failure in marketing. You need to get out. And she didn't mean just get out of the credit union. She meant get out of the marketing field completely. I was so horrible at it. So at that point, I had a choice to make. I was either going to be fired or transferred to the collection department.
Okay.
You know, my version of purgatory, right?
Right.
I was like, well, I was newly married, so I had a famous boy. Okay, I chose door number B. I went in, was collection officer for a few years, was very good at it because I could communicate with people. Eventually went into lending, was a loan officer, was very successful, well on my track to being a branch manager. doing extremely well, but I was utterly miserable. So because I was doing things that I wasn't passionate about, like writing and speaking and strategy and things like that. So about 4.5 years after the "You'll Always Be a Failure" speech, another job came open for a lowly marketing coordinator at the Texas Credit Union League. Well, at this time I was making decent money, so I had a choice to make. Do I continue to, you know, to on this one path that has more money, or do I take a significant pay cut, go back kind of backwards in my career? And so I chose to do that. So I took a pay cut, went backwards in my career, became a marketing coordinator again, lowly position. And there I got hooked up with a mentor that really poured his life into mine, Terry Young. He was their VP of corporate communications at the time. He taught me all the ins and outs of branding and communication and marketing. And eventually became a marketing director there at the league, and then left the league to go on to another credit union there in the area as their VP of marketing. Eventually an SVP over multiple areas from HR to marketing to other areas, led them through a name change process and things like that. You know, and then eventually got to the point where I wanted to help more credit unions. And so that's why we founded On the Mark. But the reality, why do we found On the Mark Strategies, is because I never, ever wanted a credit union to ever feel like they're a failure when it comes to marketing, branding, and strategy. And so that's kind of why we founded it almost 9 years ago now, is I really, really wanted to help credit. We never want to see them fail.
I was going to say, you were an early contributor to the community section of CU Insight. We've been around 12 years now. I was thinking that you had to be about 10 years since you started up. But
exactly right.
We've all grown up in this together here the past decade. So I love this question. Since you started it, how has the inspiration changed?
Yeah, you know, that is still a driving force, to be honest with you, is not wanting to fail. But really, what's changed is we really want to have creators accelerate their growth. That really is what we want them to do. Our sole focus at On the Mark Strategies is how we can help you accelerate your growth. And that's our goal. That's our focus, to grow your ROA, to increase your loan to share ratio, to grow your membership. And we've had, you know, many, many clients where they were at negative and they go to positive. And that's what we're looking for really now. That's what drives us. That's what drives our company, is we want credit unions to not just, again, I said earlier, to survive, just get through. We want them to thrive. Let's turbocharge this thing and let's get some accelerated growth moving forward. That's our whole focus.
How about for you personally? Has there been any, if you were anything like us, when David and I started, it was just David and I. So employees, you know, and having, as you grow as a company, suddenly the responsibilities change a bit, right?
Like, it totally changes, right? No, you're right. And I, like you, started as a solopreneur. And it's like, you know, you just got yourself to take care of. It's great. It's wonderful. But as the business grows, you're like, I can't do all this by myself. And so you had to expand. So that is both thrilling, exhilarating, and scary as heck.
Absolutely.
Then you have other mouths to feed. You're responsible for their families, for their, you know, the insurance and their 401k and all this stuff. And, you know, and now we've grown and have, you know, multiple employees all over the place. It's great. It's wonderful. But it's at times like, wow, they got to be here. It kind of keeps you up at night sometimes. It's just the responsibility. And, you know, because I do feel a sense of responsibility to them. I think that's part of being a leader, is you have to make sure that you have their self interest in mind above yourself. It's not what's going to happen for me. It's how can I help them grow? And that, honestly, that does charge me up now. Is it excites me and thrills me that we've built a company that not is just helping credit unions, but is helping individual families who work for us. Okay, that's kind of cool. It's like that really, making a difference out there in the economy. Maybe one or two families at a time in small doses here and there, but you know, overall, it's making a difference.
I've said it before on the podcast, when we hired our first employee, my job changed to making sure her and her kids had mac and cheese on the table. That's literally how I would think about it. So
that's the mindset. It is. And it's exhilarating to have that.
So speaking of your team, is there something that your team has heard you say so many times they can finish your sentence?
Yes. There are about three or four things that they say that I say all the time. One is cut the copy. Cut the copy. I say that all the time. Even if some of my clients have repeated that back to me now, they think some of them even hear it in their sleep now. But cut the copy. We write way too much. Cut the copy. Another catchphrase I have is, you must work on the business, not just in the business. That you've got to work on the business. And it is so important. I think they even at one point had a drinking game for me when I was saying that. I was saying it so much. How many times you said it? Yeah, exactly. Then we also say, knowledge without action is meaningless. Knowledge without action is meaningless. And I say that a lot because I really, you know, we love to consume knowledge and books and reading and blogs and podcasts and things like that. But if you don't take and do anything with it, it doesn't matter. So my goal is, hey, look, let's share some information, but take something with it, you know, make it actionable. Those three things.
I like that. You know, sometimes as a leader, this was a question I added in the second season, but, you know, and for you, not only as a leader, but as a business owner, you have to make those kind of, let's call it the tough decision, right? And sometimes in the short term, not everybody might like that. I'm guessing that's come up over your career, you know, that unpopular decision that you think is for the greater good. Is that something that you always had the ability to do that? Or is that something that you just had to, or that you've cultivated along the way?
Yeah, it's a little bit of cultivate. I think you learn that with experience. I mean, that's something that just time teaches you. It's kind of like, you know, Dr. Spock famously said, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. You know, the reality is the needs of the long term outweigh the needs of the short term. And that's where, as a leader, you have constantly got to be casting that vision. You've got to be looking years down the line, not just right now, not just the next 3 months, the next 3 years. You've got to. And that's one of the biggest challenges as a leader. Most of your people, most of your employees are probably focused a little bit more short term. Not wrong with that. That's what you need. That's very important. But you really got to make sure that you are thinking long term and casting that vision. As a leader, you've got to be the vision cast. You've got to cast the vision for where you want the organization, the company to go.
Is there a common myth about leadership that you would just like to debunk?
Yeah, I would say that leadership is a team sport. We just talked about it. Sometimes it's lonely at the top. Leadership can be very lonely. We think, oh, there's inclusive leadership now. Well, that's kind of a myth. Yes, you involve people in your leadership. Yes, you involve them in the decision-making process. But ultimately, you know, the buck does stop with you. Now, having said that, you still need to seek others' wisdom. You still need to have others speaking into your life. You've got to have that. I don't want to paint this solo leadership portrayal. That's not it at all. But ultimately, you've got to be the ones to make those tough calls.
Oh, I've talked to friends in credit union land who, when they became the CEO, they didn't, you know, even though they were an SVP at a large credit union or an organization, mm-hmm. and they got to the CEO job and they're like, I didn't realize how much I was shielded from the board before, right. Or whatever, you know, right. It's like right. That. And you saying it can be lonely at the top, Jill and I've talked about that often where, you know, you're kind of there. The buck does stop with you in the end.
It so really does. And it changes your mindset and all those things.
I was just going to say that is that question kind of almost alone, even though it's something I added, was one of the things that made me want to start this podcast was the idea there's so many great, smart leaders around credit unions, right? To be able to just pick their brain. And, you know, that comes from like, you know, and we're going to get into that here in a second with the sure. mentors, and you already mentioned one. So one of my favorite questions, because you already mentioned experience and what we do learn from it. But when you think back to earlier in your career or in the work that you've done with other young, you know, up and coming leaders, is there a mistake that either you made or you see, you know, young leaders make over and over again?
Yeah, well, I've made a ton of mistakes in my career. And I learned through those. But I would say one in particular, relative to your question, is that it's not just about the task and getting things done and doing a good job. You know, at one time I thought, okay, if I just do a great job, my career is going to advance, whatever it might be. And there's an element of truth in that. But what I learned is people are just as important as knowledge. That people are just as important as knowledge. You really have to network, and not network in a, you know, schmoozy, sleazy way, but truly putting others and getting to know people. That's so important to really build that network of individuals that you can just, you know, sit down and chat with and visit and tap into it and tap into their wisdom and, you know, get those mentors in your life. It's critical to do so. But I mean, you have a vast network that you can tap into and you have a question that you want addressed. You know, I do as well. You got to be able to do that so you can reach out to folks because you build those relationships. It's not just about the work you do. It's about the people you impact.
Absolutely. Has there been a piece of advice or a life lesson that you find yourself going back to over and over throughout your career?
Yeah, I would say it's a cliche, but it's true that passion is critical. You've got to be passionate. I mean, otherwise you'll burn out in a heartbeat, and you just got to make sure that you're doing what you love. It's, you know, that life is a good quote, do what you love what you do. It's just, it's so important to be passionate about it because there are going to be days you're not going to feel like it. You're going to have to mail it in. You're going to, you know, what's getting you up there. It's real important. So I would say that's a piece of advice. Make sure you're being passionate.
So you mentioned a mentor from the league when you went to work at the league. That was one of the things that I noticed, like as a reoccurring theme in the first season of the podcast, was how many people talk about their mentors. And you just mentioned your network also, because I think that's so important, right? Is just to have the people. So a couple of questions here, because of your previous answer, but your network, is it mostly credit union folks, mostly marketers, or do you have people inside and outside the space?
It's a mix. A great question. Yeah. So I think it needs to be a mix. So I definitely have, you know, fellow credit union folks that I can tap in, other consultants that we meet with sometimes on a regular basis, whether it's Jeff Rendell or someone like him, as well as Casey Boggs and some other folks that we can just tap into and really just, you know, pick their brains and things like that. So that's a really good network. And Matt Purvis, those guys, we really try and reach out and on a regular basis just to kind of, you know, get with them and see. So that's kind of peer-to-peer. So we have the inside stuff and all the other folks out there in Creighton land, just Creighton marketers and CEOs, a lot of Creighton CEOs now that are our clients or former clients. I can pick up the phone and pick their brain. And I've done that with a lot of our clients, you know, whether it's Eric Pointer at Creighton of Texas or, you know, Dave Krause at Unawayo Federal Creighton. Those are just some really great leaders out there as well. Stephanie Rupert at Collins Community Credit Union. You know, being able to reach out to those CEOs, because I really wonder what's on their mind. What are they thinking? And what are they learning? Because I learn from them. While they're clients, they're also people I can really tap into. So that's been a good network. But then I also have a group outside of Credit Union Land of other business owners that I'm involved with that's really helps me. And we meet, you know, pretty much weekly on a video type session. And, you know, twice a year we may get out together. But we're really going through an entire program to help us be better leaders of our organizations, of our companies. And that really helps to get the non-credit union perspective to help me grow my company, make sure I'm serving credit unions even better. So it's a little bit of both.
I still love early on in the podcast when Maurice Smith was on, and one of the people that he said he went to often when he was an early CEO was his father, who had nothing to do with, you know, credit unions or banking or anything, you know, but he was just like, I needed the outside opinion, right? Like,
my dad was in credit unions. My dad has passed away, but I would tell you he was the first CEO of what is now Catalyst Corporate Federal Credit Union. So he founded and started that credit union. So I literally grew up around the kitchen table talking about credit unions and being dragged to credit union chapter meetings of all things when I was a kid. You know, in my early career, he was just a true mentor and really taught me so much because he, you know, he led with compassion and vision.
Yeah.
And I learned that, you know, to lead with vision, but also to lead with compassion. And that really, he taught me so much that I would not be who I am today were it not for Dad.
Oh, that's great. I absolutely love that. You and Brett Martinez will have to compare notes. He talked about on the show stuffing envelopes at a very young age when his mother was the CEO of a credit union.
So. That's right. Yeah, it's kind of in our blood.
Or stuffing statements. So, has there ever been a point in your career where you just, I mean, you mentioned early on where you were just told you shouldn't be in marketing, but where you just felt lost, you had that self-doubt. And is there anything going through something like that, like any hacks that you've picked up on how you work through things like that?
Yeah, great question. Oh, definitely that was one. And what's hard about that one is that was one that stuck with me for a while, Randy. I will tell you, that scarred me for a long time, not just initially, but even anytime I would ever mess up, if you will, later, I'd always go back to that quote. Oh my gosh, she thinks that, you know, she was right. You know, so the reality is, I can't emphasize that you've got to get other folks in your life that can speak truth into you, that can help you build you up and kind of be that accountability partner too, that can tell you when you're getting off or when you're on, or really to kind of hold you. So that would be just a, you know, when you're getting to those dark times, you got to have someone who will both pick you up and kick you out. And what I mean by that is there are times in my life when I've needed someone to help me up.
Yep.
Dark times. There are also times when I need someone to give me a kick in the rear end.
Absolutely.
And I needed that. Need that too. So yep. you got to find that balance in that person who can help you. And it may be multiple people, but that's critical.
That's good. This another fairly new question to the podcast, but what does the typical workday look like for Mark? Maybe pre all this craziness, but and on the flip side of that, what's the perfect workday look like for you?
Yeah, great question. Love the question. So I always typically like to start the day out with a run. So I love to run. And so when I'm running, though, I like to listen to podcasts and maybe an audio book as well, because I turn that running time into reflection time, into learning time as well. So I definitely start the day off that way. I do not open my email right away. So when I get into the office, I try to avoid email at least until mid-morning at later, because once you open email, you no longer have your agenda for the day. It's taken up. So I tackle the most important task first. I try to do the top two or three things. I try and write down the top two or three things I want to accomplish the day before. I'm there. So the very end of my day, I write down, hey, what are the top two things the next day I want to accomplish? And then I start my day there. So I want to start there. So I don't open email. I try and do most of my calls in the afternoon, because what I found is my peak time, my most productive time is the morning. So I want to do the three most important things I need to get accomplished. I want to try and get it done in the morning because that's when I'm most productive. So I try and schedule all my meetings, all my phone calls in the afternoon. It doesn't always work out that way, but I try to. So start with a run, do some reading in the morning, make sure I get my top two or three tasks accomplished, and then shovel the other stuff to the afternoon.
I am very similar to that. Even when we used to, when we still had an office, I didn't come in until about 10 a.m. because I'm most productive from like 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. But same thing, wouldn't open my email until I got to the office because it can be a distraction. I think that's a great hack that many of us should do more of, right? Before we move on to the last part of the show, if you have a free day, nothing on the calendar, right? What does Mark like to do outside of credit unions? What do you do to recharge? Earlier,
love to run. So we'll do a long run. I love half marathons and marathons. So I'm a running addict. So I love that. Definitely reading. I love to enjoy just sitting down with a good book and reading and just relaxing that way. My wife and I love to travel. So we're not doing much of that now, obviously, we travel. And so we travel quite a bit throughout the year all across the country. And some, at least every year, we'll always try and go to Montana at least once a year because we really enjoy that beautiful state up there. And so kayaking and hiking and things like that. So those are my passions and my pastime, or spending time with my wife and traveling with her.
For the fellow entrepreneurs out there, it's not all credit union folks who listen to this. Any hacks? When Bill Cheney was on the show, Chrissy Cheney is very involved in credit unions as well. She was in one of my DE mentors and things of that nature, but I was like, how do you shut off credit unions when you're both so involved in them? As an entrepreneur, our companies can consume us. Any hacks to shutting that off and making sure that it doesn't consume the evenings as well?
If you tell me, I would love some advice. It is a struggle, my friend. It is. As you know this as a fellow business owner and entrepreneur, you're constantly thinking about it, and it is hard. So I can tell you a few hacks, but I will tell you the pot calling the kettle black because I struggle. I have an office in our house. So when we built the home, we knew we were going to start this. So we had already, so we carved out a specific office in our home office. And then, I have doors on it so I can shut the doors. I can do all those things. I can turn off the computer. But when I leave mentally, I'm still thinking about things. And that's my challenge. So it's a struggle. I'll be honest. It is. So it's just trying to turn that off. Honestly, since COVID hit, I've done a little bit better because I've working so hard nonstop during the week. By the time I get to the weekend, I have to deplug. So now I just totally, I can shut off. But a lot of it is just mental. Is what's your mindset? The reality is the work will be there. What's helped me is understanding that when I am not at work and I'm deplugging, I'm still working to some degree in the background. My mind's thinking, and that's good. It's okay to have that white. It's okay to go to the movies or watch a movie and just chill out because that helps me to relax when I come back to work.
You mentioned travel that you and your wife like to as well. It's similar to Jill and I. It's our time where we actually can, I think we can get on the plane and shut it off for a little bit or get in the car and just go because, when your home is your office, exactly that part of it, a lot of people are dealing with right now who maybe haven't been as long as you and I have been. So on to the last part of the show. I want to be respectful of your time. The rapid fire questions. The questions are rapid. Your answers do not have to be. So what was Mark like in high school? And do you remember the first time you got into memorable trouble?
Yes, I will tell you. I was a totally shy nerd as a freshman and sophomore. Unbelievably shy, scared of my own shadow. I was the guy that the football players were shoving into the locker room. True story. Sorry, into a locker. Yeah. So, and then by my junior or junior, I realized, that really wasn't who I wanted to be. I was taking theater, I was taking speech, and it helped me get out of my shell a little bit. Okay. And that really propelled me to do the speaking. And
I was just going to say, now you do it for a living. So,
now I do it for a living. But the reality is, when I was a freshman and sophomore, I was scared of my own shadow. I was a total nerd. But theater and speech really helped me to become to get out of that shell and help me. And so my memorable, you asked about the, first time I got in trouble, probably before I was in high school, a little bitty kid scared the, bejeebers out of me, is I actually shoplifted from a place. Yeah. This is when I was a little kid, And so then I told my parents, oh, look, there's something underneath my bed that just magically appeared. Right. So of course I was thinking I could outsmart my parents. This is just magic fairy just showed up with this little Superman hero, whatever it was. Yep. And so the punishment I got from that was so severe. It scared me to not get in trouble in high school. It scared me.
Never did it again. I remember my stepbrother doing a similar thing and my dad making him go back to the store and take it back and he didn't do that again either. So so most of us stumbled into a career in credit unions. It sounds like, I mean, it was in the family beforehand for you. When you were younger, what'd you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah, a writer. Definitely okay. A writer. Yeah. So, you know, my degree's in journalism. So I have that journalism background. So totally it was the newspaper and the journalism side of things and doing public relations. So that's really what I really want to do is to be a writer. Since my dad was the CEO of a crane, I didn't ever see myself really going down that path, to be honest. I saw myself doing writing. But then, like I said, about a year after being at a PR firm after college, then I got actually at the credit union job and just absolutely fell in love with credit unions. And just, I think once you're in credit unions, you're almost like a lifer. It's just, and yes, it was in my blood, but then it stayed in my blood. Just, I love it. Just love credit unions so much.
Once we get into it, we do not want to leave. That's for sure. You mentioned running. Is that other daily routines or is that the big daily routine where if you just don't do it, day feels
off? That's the big daily routine. If I don't do it, I miss that. Also being able to, you know, journal a little bit, maybe read the Bible. Just that I've got to start off a little bit with that. Otherwise, it does throw my routine off. Because if I don't have that time to reflect, you know, to pause and pray, it throws a day off.
That brought up a question I wanted to ask of something that you said earlier. You mentioned starting your day with like the three most important things that you want to knock out, you know, right off the get go. Is that something do you physically write that down on post-it note paper?
Yeah, you can't see it, but I have a notebook, a journal here. And what I do is basically, you know, I have my daily big three list. And I do this the night before. I write down what are the big three things. And I base that off of what are the big three things I want to accomplish this week. So on Sunday, I spend some time reflecting, what do I need to do this week? Then it gets down to the granular level. Don't always get to it, but I try to have that actually written down, not even on a computer, physically handwritten, so that when I walk in that next morning, I just open up the planner and it says, boom, here are the top three things you're going to do today. Go.
And it's a physical planner. I use a physical journal every morning, so it's I get it. Difference. The random question. What's the best album of all time? That one you can listen to without skipping a song.
Absolutely. Great question. I know this is going to show my nerdness coming out here, but I love movies and I love soundtracks. So my favorite album is The Best of John Williams, Volumes 1 and 2. I mean, it's got Star Wars, E.T., Superman, the Olympic Fanfare, all those, you know, those great movie tunes that inspire you. You know, I run to that sometimes. So, yeah, absolutely. It would be The Best of John Williams.
I will say that's a first, actually.
That's probably a first. Yeah,
I'm good. So I'm a reader. Jill and I have a stack of books in our house that many have been recommended on this show. So that stack keeps growing. You mentioned you like to read earlier. Is there a book that you've either gifted to others often or that book you just think everybody should read?
Yeah, I know you said one. I'm going to give you three. I can't help myself.
We love it.
I think one is Leading for Growth by Ray Davis. Fantastic book. It's about how he led Umpqua Bank from, you know, $100 million or so to multi-billion dollars. And yes, he's a banker, but the reality is a lot of the strategies he employed are things credit unions can absolutely do. So Leading for Growth is fantastic. I've reread that. It's wonderful. Grow by Jim Stengel is awesome as well. Grow by Jim Stengel. All about how to grow your company. Fantastic book on that. And third is The Revenue Growth Habit by Alex Goldfein. Revenue Growth Habit gives you some practical information on how to increase your sales and your marketing in any place of business. So those three are obviously Leading for Growth, Grow, and then Revenue Growth Habit.
You're adding to the book list or to that stack. Yep. So as you've gotten older, what's become more important to you? And my favorite part of this question, what's become less important?
Yeah, great question. More important, definitely family and time with your wife and kids. As your kids flee the nest and get out of the nest and get married and all that kind of stuff, you know, you realize just that. So more important is family, my wife, more important. And also just time, you know, I would say that. I think you get that perspective. It's like that now I'm really going to show my nerdness. The quote from Gandalf in Lord of the Rings where he says, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. And I love that. And it reminds me, you know, time is what I've learned is more important than ever is time, because that you can't get back. Nope. You can't get back the time. That has taken a long time for me to get that. I'm still not fully sure I do. But that one, as far as less important, titles. Titles don't mean a darn thing. You know, when I was younger, I used to think, oh, I wanted to be a vice president. And then I want to be a senior vice president. Then I want to, you know, the reality is titles don't matter. They just don't matter. So
I have to ask you on this one, because like both of us came into starting our own businesses as we were you know, already into a career, because I've not really thought about this, but like when I was not owning my own businesses, titles seemed to matter more for me. I was also younger then, but I couldn't agree with you more. Once I started a business, I don't care about titles at all. Maybe it's because founder or owner is probably the, but I don't know.
Maybe so.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, much of this podcast is just scratch my own thoughts. So there's a question that I didn't send you. When you okay. hear the word success, who is the first person that comes to mind?
Wow. Success. I would say my dad. And he passed away several years ago. I would say my dad. And the reason I say dad is because dad accomplished a ton. He was the founder of Catalyst Corporate Credit Union. When he retired, over $1 billion in assets, started with zero. You know, he accomplished on. He's in the Texas Credit Union Hall of Fame. He was instrumental in the National Corporate Network. I mean, he accomplished a ton in his lifetime. But at his memorial service, I mean, time and time, people came up to me and said, you know what? If it wasn't for your dad, I wouldn't be in the position I have because your dad pushed me to go to that job. Or someone else said, you know, if it wasn't for your dad, I wouldn't have gone back to school because your dad told me I had to go back to school. I mean, time and time again, it was fast. He was not remembered for what he accomplished. Yeah. He wasn't. He was remembered for who he influenced. And so he influenced so many people. He did a ton, but that's not what he was. He was remembered for who he influenced. I think that's what I strive for success, is to be a person of influence. That's really what you're trying to do.
I like that answer, and it's a great way to wrap up. That's one of my favorite questions, and the reason why is because we all define success differently. So, yeah. Thank you again, Mark, for being on the show and sharing your story. My last question for you: do you have any final asks of our listeners or final thoughts you'd like to share today?
Yeah, I would just like to share a couple of things with your listeners, and that is, again, now is not the time to pause. Now's the time to grow. Now's the time to accelerate your growth. And I think there are three things that are going to let you accelerate the growth of your credit union or your company. One is your messaging. Got to get your messaging. Number two are your employees. You've got to teach and train your employees on how to do this new stuff. And then third is your strategy. You've got to have strategy. Those three things, your messaging, your employees, and your strategy, that's going to accelerate your growth. I think if you do that, you'll have success moving forward, not just right now, but honestly, success in your own personal life, also success in your professional life, and success in growing your credit union.
Well, we will link to everything we talked about today in the show notes. What is the best way to get a hold of you, Mark, if they have additional questions?
Great LinkedIn, question.
Twitter machine, email?
Yeah, just email. Yeah, but I would love to hear from you via email, mark@markarnold.com. You can also hit our website, markarnold.com. Pretty straightforward. Tons of information there. And obviously on LinkedIn, my LinkedIn handle is LinkedIn/JMarkArnold with the initial J. Just anyway, would love to reach out, talk to anyone about all things credit unions and leadership.
We will link to all of those as well. Thank you again, Mark, and I hope you have a great day, and please stay healthy, my friend.
You too, Randy. Thanks for this time. Really appreciate the opportunity, the honor. It's a real honor to be here. Thank you.
Before we go, I would just like to take a minute to thank you, a huge thank you to all of you, our listeners. Without you, we couldn't do this. So, and again, a thank you to Mark for taking time out of his busy schedule. And also, a big thank you to our sponsor, PSCU. Our friends at PSCU have been longtime partners and supporters of ours. So please, you know, take a minute, click on their links in the show notes, give them some love, see everything they have going on, helping credit unions out there today. Also, we are on all the podcast players, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're out there. We would greatly appreciate it if you would subscribe, maybe leave us a 5-star rating, even a review on the old Apple podcast machine. It helps with the visibility of the show. If you don't think we're worth the 5 stars, forget I even asked. Just reach out to me directly. Let me know where we can improve. And don't forget about the CU Insight Experience podcast book list. Need some stimulation for the mind while social distancing? We've got you covered. Get your next book recommendation from the guests on our show. Thank you all again for listening. I hope you have an amazing day. And please stay healthy, friends.